You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Big day in our house. Colleen turns 17. That's right. Colleen Maureen McNamara. You know her from her ID, right? Who could ever forget this quality piece of audio? Right here. You ready? Here you have it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, so with that in mind, I interviewed my daughter this morning here a few minutes ago because she has school today for like an hour. Yeah, she's done it like 9:15. I mean, school reduced to academics. Not so much. Like, who needs that? So she and I had a conversation about that this morning, and her birthday. And so you'll hear that here in 1 second. As soon as I tee it up. So here's the lovely Colleen. What the hell? Here's the lovely Colleen on her birthday.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, full on produce this thing this morning. Joining me is the voice you just heard. Not Michelle Branch, who's singing in front of Santana, but my daughter Colleen on her 17th birthday. Colleen, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to be shy or what?
No, I'm
Do you want to do that ID live? Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, you made me do it like 10 times because it wasn't good enough.
But you learned how to do production, right? You don't have to do it like one time all the way through, right? It's just little pieces of...
No, I definitely had to do it a few times because then he started to get mad at me. And I was like, hi, my name is Colleen McNamara.
But it sounds good though, right? It sounds professional.
So.
Yeah. All right, so you turned 17 today. And we'll talk about that in a second. So first of all, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Let's talk about school. So So you go back to school, and what is school like here in Southern California?
So I'm doing distance learning, and currently, well, today I go from 8 to 9:10.
That's pretty brutal, huh?
Yeah. And then on Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, I go to school from 8 to 10:45.
Wow.
I know. So hard life for me.
So you get up at 7:30?
Yeah.
Maybe, if you get up early.
Yeah.
And then you go to school for 2 hours and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to bed?
Yeah.
Some days?
Yeah, and then I do homework later.
And so school is pretty difficult, right?
No.
Not so much. Now, what are the rules, though? You were telling me that if Orange County is off some list for how long, that you might get to start going back to campus? Because, I mean, this sucks, right? You don't get to be around your – I mean, like school. Yeah, all we're doing is academics. Really? Please. Like, what kind of craziness is this? No activities, no sports, no school functions, no dances. Like, so – really? Academics? That's all we're doing? Like, who thinks this is a good idea? So, explain the two-week whatever.
So, Orange County was put on a watch list, and in order for schools to go back into session, you have to be off the watch list for 2 weeks, and then schools can start to reopen again, but we don't know if our district is actually going to start opening our school in 2 weeks because we're officially off the list.
So you guys came off the list and you got to stay out for 2 weeks.
And there's a possibility we could go back in. But our district might not take us back in because then there's a chance of a kid having COVID and then the entire school gets infected. So.
That would be horrible.
Well,
I know, but kids aren't susceptible to it like adults are. And, you know, some kids are, and you have to protect them. So it's like you can't apply that solution to everybody forever at some point. I mean, and who says we're going to have a – what happens if we don't get a vaccine this year? Everybody stays at home the whole year?
I don't know.
At some point. But the truth is –
senior festivities.
You and your friends still kind of hang out and go to the beach and do things, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I mainly hang out with like a certain group of friends, and sometimes I branch out to other people, but for the most part, I have like a group that I hang out with.
And they haven't had any issues?
No.
And they're probably like you, a little bit careful, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is now?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about your birthday. So what do you want for your birthday? You're getting nothing from me. And
another
you know that.
Dog. I want another puppy.
Colleen and I... 3 years ago today, went down to the Helen Woodward.
Orphanage.
animal orphanage. And it's in North County, San Diego, in the vicinity of Del Mar. And it's a huge, you have to go east off the interstate. But it's a huge place. I mean, horses and all kinds of cool stuff. And so we went down there. Colleen had identified a dog by the name of Doc. And we went down. We got up at like 6 in the morning on Saturday, and we drove down there to be first so we could get Doc. And so Doc is now Joe.
Yeah.
And he is 3 years old.
Yeah. And I was about to go make a cake instead of go get Joe on my birthday, so you better be pretty lucky.
That's right. So Joe and $600 is being like billed to Colleen every year for a little while. So do you want anything for your birthday?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's like some stuff, but it's not like a necessity. I mean, Joe was a necessity. So.
Joe was the necessity.
Yes.
All right, so big plans. You and I are going to go out to lunch today down the coast at a place you've never been, although you've been by it a bunch of times, right?
I have. I've been by it a lot, but I've never actually been there.
Yeah, me too. I'd never been there until, I don't know, a couple weeks ago I went. It's a place called the Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
And as you drive south on the Coast Highway.
I think it's by Crystal Cove.
Yeah. It is the only thing on the ocean side, and it's been there forever. And they have a bacon, lettuce, tomato, and avocado sandwich that is seriously to die for. So we're going to go down there, and it's a absolutely beautiful view, right?
Yeah, it's really pretty.
So we're going to go there for lunch, and then you're going to hang out with your friend Renee.
I am.
How spoiled is Renee? Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Tell the truth.
She's kind of spoiled a little bit.
You know she's going to listen to this, right?
No, she's not. No, how is she going to find this?
Because I'm going to tell her about it.
No, you're not.
Yeah. We were talking about you and how spoiled you are.
Well, her nickname in our household is the princess, so I think that says a lot.
Exactly. Not a whole lot ruffles the princess's world because she doesn't allow it. All right, so you're going to go do something with her, and
yes.
Then...
I'm going to come home and have dinner with my family.
So, but not the real dinner, not the birthday celebration,
so.
Like with all the bells and whistles. This is just kind of the night of your birthday, and then we'll do something this weekend probably, I would think.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to your mommy. All right. Anything else you want to say on your birthday? Is there anything like any words of wisdom you have for everybody?
My Venmo is. I'm just kidding. No.
Explain to everybody what Venmo is.
It's a place where you can transfer money.
For those of you who don't know, yeah, Colleen grifting money off everybody listening. Look, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a great day. 17 years old.
17.
A year from now, you'll be in college. How about that?
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
We'll be turning 18.
Wow. I turned 18 when I was...
going in. A lot of people who turn 18 go... It's our senior year when they turn 18, but not me.
I did. I turned 18 in December.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like 18 and a half when I graduated. I was like a straight-up man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you won't turn 18 till a year.
I won't turn 18 till I'm either
But the
in
truth
college.
Is, though, you had three older brothers and sisters, and as a four-year-old, you were pretty advanced.
I was pretty advanced.
Yeah, and socially and language and stuff like that. And
academically as well.
And your mom's, not so much. Your mom said, yeah, she got to go. I cannot keep her around for another year. Anyway. All right, that's enough out of you. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
There you go. My lovely daughter, Colleen, turned 17 today. More Bob Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So, the lovely Colleen. Yeah, here you go. This is dedicated to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you. Thank Mr. President. For all the things you've done, the battles that you've won, the way you deal with U.S. Steel and our problems by the ton, we thank you so much. Everybody, happy birthday!
Yeah, happy birthday, Colleen. So when you're young, like your birthday, it's not like when I was a kid, like you had a little party and that was it. Right? I don't know how these things and then like they last forever, the endless birthday party. So what did he say when he got up? I've never seen that part of the video.
I can now retire from politics after having had a happy birthday sung to me in such a sweet, open way.
John Kennedy, you know what? You knew he was going to have something funny to say, and he did. I can now retire from politics after having happy birthday sung to me in such a sweet, wholesome way. Oh, and you know what he's thinking, right? She's lost her mind. Oh, my God. Too funny. Too funny. So, yeah. Yeah, John Kennedy, pretty good with one-liners. The another one of his famous ones, right? When he went, I can't remember if he was on his way to Berlin or coming back from Berlin. And, you know, he says, I'm the man that's accompanying Jacqueline Bouvier or somebody. Because she was French, right? Spoke French and family was French and whatnot. So they stop in Paris and all of France is going gaga over Jacqueline Kennedy. And he introduces himself at some kind of speaking engagement. I'm the man who's accompanying Jacqueline Kennedy. And I don't think he uses her maiden name, Bouvier. So anyway, John Kennedy, pretty funny. Pretty funny. And one could only imagine the conversation afterwards, like, who the hell thought that was a good idea, right? Among his friends, his Rat Pack friends that were sitting there that night, going, oh my God, this is not a good thing to have happen in public. So anyway, so we celebrate Colleen's birthday today in our family, so it's always a good time. And big news across the country is gunfire last night breaks out in Wisconsin. Two people are killed. And it's always interesting to see somebody else's view of you, right? So this is from the CBC in Canada. A third night of street protests over the shooting of a black man erupted into gun violence late Tuesday and early Wednesday in Kenosha, Wisconsin, killing two people and wounding one, police said. Social media video showed chaotic scenes of people running and screaming amid a volley of gunfire and others tending to gunshot wounds. The bloodshed followed a night of skirmishes that had appeared to turn calm after police fired tear gas and rubber bullets at protesters who defied a curfew. The shooting broke out shortly before midnight, killing two people and wounding a third one who was expected to survive. The Kenosha protests have drawn self-styled militias patrolling the streets with rifles or standing guard to prevent looters or arsonists after significant damage to buildings has taken place. Quote, they're like a vigilante group, Kenosha County Sheriff David Beth told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, though he said he was unsure if the armed man at the center of Tuesday night's outburst was linked to any such group. Sheriff Beth predicted the main suspect would be caught, telling the newspaper, I feel very confident we'll have him in very short time. Cell phone video of at least two of the shootings that were posted online shows what appears to be a white man with a semi-automatic rifle jogging down the street. Down the middle of the street is a crowd and some police officers follow him. Someone in the crowd can be heard asking, what did he do? And another person responded that the man had shot someone. The man with the gun stumbles and falls and as he is approached by people in the crowd, he fires three or four shots from a seated position, hitting at least two people, including one who falls over and another who stumbles away and cries, medic, medic. Crowds chased a man running down the street with a rifle after they believed he had shot another man. One pursuer took a flying kick at him after he fell on the ground. Another man tried to grab his weapon and appeared to be shot at close range, falling to the ground. Another video shows a man who appears to be shot in the head as several people rush to his aid, frantically trying to tend to his wound and keep him alert. Yet another video showed a man with a severe arm wound sitting on the ground and being aided by an armed man as police officers approach. Kenosha Police, a separate agency from the sheriff's office, asked for witnesses to come forward. So now we have the militia involved. Nice. So anyway, that's going on today. And that's all over the news. Now, interestingly enough, when you look at the news headlines, and this is one of my major bitches about people that write these stories, do you think they delineate that it was civilian gunfire that did this? No, they don't. They don't. So, anyway, and then you only find out that, oh, it's not the police. So, the other thing, I'm going to comment on something I said yesterday. So, when you do any amount of research into police shootings, right, the number one call that results in police officers being injured are domestic violence calls. Well, that's what this call was from the other day. And you don't know if they were told that this guy was armed or whatnot. So they show up. If you look at the video, and I learned this from talking to my nephew. My nephew's a cop, and he's telling me a story about he had a shotgun fired between his legs as they tried to. They were just supposed to do either a probation check or something like that, which he said is pretty routine stuff. So they roll up to the house. They knock on the door. Woman answers the door, and they say, hey, he and another cop who shows up. It's not like they ride together all the time. They're all in individual cars. So that's in order to save money. It would be better if you rode around with somebody all day, but we've cut costs, so we do that. Anyway, so they get together before they go to into the house, knock. Woman answers the door, and she says something like, yeah, he's not here. I don't think he's here. And they said, do you mind if we look around? And she says, no. So she sits on the couch in the living room. They go back. There's a guy in the back bedroom. So they said, hey, are you so-and-so? And he said, it's none of your business who I am. So he's laying in bed with his hands underneath a blanket. So they said, do you have ID? No. Can you show us your hands? No. So now as my nephew's articulating this, he said, so, you know, he doesn't get out of bed. That's one. He's not cooperative relative to, do you have an ID? That's two. Three is, will you show us your hands? He said, now you're getting into, you know, bad country. So my nephew's a former offensive lineman, right? Played in high school and played in junior college in Sacramento. So his partner draws his pistol, and my nephew doesn't have his pistol out. So my nephew jumps on the bed and he pins the guy. So he's got hands on his shoulders and his knees are straddling the guy's body, right? The guy fires a shotgun between his legs. So you're a cop and you do this stuff all the time. You know that domestic violence calls are dangerous calls. So you go. You don't know what the story, I don't know what the story is relative to the call, if they said the guy had a knife or if he was armed or whatever, whoever called 911, however this gets, you know, the police to respond, you have no idea what they say. So they show up. Now, if you go through the escalatory process, and I said this yesterday, that if we're going to have a conversation about this stuff, the conversation can't be just what the police did. There's two parts to this always. One is if you fail to cooperate with police, if he just says, okay, no problem, you know, I'll leave. They either have him leave or they detain him and they take him, you know, down to the police station and it gets sorted out. That's got to be part of this conversation. Right? Or else we slew immediately to defund the police. And all these people that talk shit about the police, You know, and I remember this from a couple years ago. Well, probably from the Ferguson thing and the aftermath of that. You had football players, and I think it was in Denver, that said, you know, we want to understand this thing better. We want to know what cops go through. We want to have a dialogue. So they hung out with cops for, you know, a couple nights. And their comments after they did it was, yeah, this stuff's crazy. Everybody needs to understand these cops, they're not looking to kill anybody. You know, I got to know these riding around with these guys for a night. You know, they're just trying to keep the peace out here. And incident after incident of idiot after idiot, most of them either intoxicated or high and belligerent, and they won't cooperate with the police. And one of them said words to the effect like, "You guys deserve everything you get from what I saw." He said, "Hell, if I was out there, I wouldn't have near the patience for the bullshit they put up with." So it was words to that effect. So to me, you know, now you see athletes, coaches. You see the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers and the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. They're both like, and I think they feel obligated to speak out now. But here's my caveat. And so this guy doesn't comply. And now this thing begins to be escalated. Right? Now, we don't know if they were told he was armed or not. I haven't seen a story to that effect. He goes into his car. When he goes into his car, it's not like he's upright and he's going to sit down. He bends over and it looks like he's reaching into the car for something. Now, you don't know what gets said. Did somebody say he's got a knife, he's got a gun, and now deadly force applies if he's got a knife or a gun, or you believe he has a knife or a gun. Okay, you're justified. But here's my problem. Why is it taken now 3 days and you haven't heard anything from the Kenosha, Wisconsin Police Department on what happened? And you know within hours they had a basic understanding of the sequence of events. Now, I haven't seen that shit. And why the police department, why the city is sitting on that information, no matter what it does, either it begins to paint the picture or it serves as an indictment of the police officers. And this whole bullshit of, well, it's an active investigation, so we can't say anything. You can release, through the district attorney, these are the events as we know them. This is not 100%, but we believe this is 80% of the story, and this is the narrative as it happened. As well as whatever else. These are the videos we've collected. At this point, this happens. At this point, this happens. Okay, we're not looking to try the case in public, but you know, as the chief of police, as the mayor, I need to lay the facts as I know them right now in front of the people of Kenosha, who voted for me and who hired me and who I work for. This is what happened, and this will go through standard procedure. Everybody's entitled to due process. Blah 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 blah. But I don't understand why none of that's being done. And I'm going to tell you, a little bit frustrating. I had somebody who's a police officer who said, yeah, I've heard that supposedly he had a knife. Well, then why don't they say that? This is what the officers were responding to. So the fact that they haven't said that tells me that's not true. And so, but I think that cities have a responsibility to get the truth that they, you know, this is what we see. This is what the officers responded to. This is what they were told. This is what happened, right? This is what you see. And so this is where we are. Okay. It has now been turned over to the district attorney, but this is, you know, an initial blush. We won't have any further comment on this until after this thing is adjudicated. I don't get that. And in the absence of anything like that, what it tells me is the officers were wrong. And the city doesn't want to come out and say that. So in either case, I find it problematic. Stand up and tell the truth. The truth is important. And either these police officers are going to be painted with a brush that says they overreacted, or they're going to be painted with a brush that says, hey, look, here's the environment they went into. These are the things that happened. This is how it escalated. And so I have a message for everybody out there. We don't want to see this happen. When the police show up, cooperate with them. Right? Don't tell them to fuck off. Don't tell them I ain't having none of that shit. And resist arrest. Because if you do, nothing good comes out of that. You are either going to be arrested or detained. Or if that thing escalates through the roof, something else bad is going to happen. Nothing good comes from escalating the situation with a police officer. Nothing. So, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking for leadership and it's just a leadership oasis in this country. Right? Do the right thing. And then hide behind. It's an ongoing investigation. We can't say shit. Bullshit, man. So anyway, today, you're going to meet Mark Trainor. And Mark's written a book called A Quiet Cadence. It is a novel. Mark is a Naval Academy graduate. He was a rifle platoon commander in Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. Went to Vietnam in 1969. Was there for 12 months. And so, all these years later, he's written a novel about his Vietnam experience. So we're going to talk to him about why he wrote it. And so, I haven't read the book, but I intend to. And let me tell you what I read about the book. Right? So, he sent me a couple of things to read about it. And this is a review by Tom Glenn, who spent a lot of time in Vietnam as a signal intel guy. He reviews this for Washington Independent Review of Books. So, I'm reading this, and it says this: at the heart of A Quiet Cadence is the damage combat does to a warrior's soul. McClure is permanently scarred. He describes it thus. So this is an excerpt from the book. In Vietnam, we try to compartmentalize our worst traumatic experiences. Uh-oh. Now, he's in post-traumatic winning country, right? Put everything. The sights, sounds, smells, and fears in a box and put the box on the shelf. I heard a firefighter describe that as the fuck you box. On the shelf, throw it down the stairs in the basement, put it someplace. It was years before I took some of those boxes down. More than years before I stopped opening some of them. Sometimes even now, some lids pop off when I'm not expecting them to. The review goes on. That was an excerpt. This is the review. Early on, Garofano warns McClure, those are two characters, about the, quote, blackness, unquote, that darkens the soul as a result of combat. Later, McClure muses about his own feelings. And he resists, and then there's an excerpt. And then he resists, though, the notion that he has PTSD, right? When PTSD was first kicked around as a diagnosis, that only losers and homeless guys who can't get jobs, who are looking for excuses, you know, have PTSD. So anyway, it's interesting. Talks about the emotions that ran through him at the fall of Saigon, and also his reluctance to go see the Vietnam Memorial Wall, which when it was done was considered by a lot of guys just another form of protest. That here you go to D.C. and you have all these monuments, right? You have the, you know, first and foremost is the Iwo Jima Memorial, right? And that was, you know, the Marine Corps, right? We on a hill overlooking, right? On a hill across the river in Arlington, Roslyn, overlooking the mall, has this incredible monument based on this incredible image. And we didn't know who the hell was in the image, but that's a different story for a different time. Anyhow, right, no other service has one of those. Marine Corps does, so it's just funny, right? But there's different, you know, statues and things to men who have fought for this country. And so what happens is when the Vietnam Wall is being discussed, is you have this big debate in the country among Vietnam veterans that says, why can't we just have a memorial that unites us? Even our memorial has to be divisive. And so a lot of guys would not go see it. Now, Jim Webb, Marine, Naval Academy guy, and there's a second memorial, right? And it is three guys standing there. One is looks to be white, one looks to be black, and I don't know how you show a Hispanic person in bronze, but I think that's what it's intended to do. And they're in their flak jackets, and one's carrying a machine gun, one's helping the other one, or something, some image like that. That was a second monument that was put up by people that thought that the wall was this vehicle of protest, and they just didn't want any piece of it. So, I mean, even that which memorialized Vietnam was divisive. And so he talks about his feelings about that. So we're gonna talk to Mark Trainer here in about 29 minutes. So we'll talk to him. So looking forward to that, especially given what we've done with post-traumatic winning, which are the things he's talking about. Actually, he's not talking about that. He's talking about the struggle with trauma that everybody has. So anyhow, that'll be interesting. And so on this day that my family celebrates the birth of the lovely Colleen, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Dedicated, obviously, to my daughter today on her birthday. She's a good Marine daughter and supportive of both her brothers, proud of her affiliation with the Marine Corps. And Colleen always goes with me to all the different things I go to from Wounded Warrior stuff to meeting a lot of people that come over the house. And she's a great friend of a lot of people that that come here. And then she also is kind of my assistant here with All Marine Radio. And her latest project is developing a studio so that we could shoot more videos. I put together the first 2 hours of the post-traumatic winning presentation, so still in its embryonic stage. But those first 2 hours, and so it's a little bit different presentation when I don't have to be, when I have to worry about time, right? And so I don't worry about time. And so the first 2 hours of a normally about a 2.5 hour presentation, the first hour took 2 hours. So it'll essentially, I'm not sure, double the time. So the whole presentation will probably be about 5 hours, which is pretty amazing, to be honest with you. But I will tell you this. When I do post-traumatic winning, it's time is the great stressor. Trying to cram as much of this into 2.5 hours that I can. giving them breaks. Somebody else has to introduce it, and I'm staring at the clock the whole time when I'm presenting it, how long I'm taking, when other people are introducing it, how long they're taking. And so it's kind of interesting to do it unencumbered, but we're going to turn the garage into a studio and begin to do more video production, hopefully to reach more people and to share the power of post-traumatic winning. So this is dedicated to my capable assistant, Colleen, who has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Colleen, and thank you very much for all the help.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to check the weather. I still have not got a good explanation from my friend on why his air conditioning doesn't work. Did he buy the truck without it? It doesn't make sense to me. Did it break and he not fix it because it'd be too expensive? All right, time for us to look at the weather. In Quantico, it is sunny and 82. Camp Lejeune down the coast, it is sunny and 86. 29 Palms has cooled off. Sunny and 90. Camp Pendleton, foggy and 71. Pendleton's cooled off. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 74. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 81. They're still having severe thunderstorms in Okinawa. We've talked about that the last couple days. in the Helmand province of Lashkar Gah. It is evening, cloudy at 94. And in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is evening, clear at 99. At the home of All Marine Radio, currently it is partly cloudy and 69. Looking for a high today of 81 degrees. Now, that will be a pleasant surprise. But really, I mean, the humidity needs to go away. Right? 84 tomorrow, 80 on Friday, 81 Saturday, 78 on Sunday. So a cool, that's called a cooling trend. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. Sad story coming out of Texas as the body of a sergeant by the name of Elder Fernandez was found last night. And foul play is not suspected. The body was found hanging in a tree. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
The birthday girl. Toby Keith. Yeah.
She left a yellow rose and a long neck bottle on the table beside my bed. With a short.
This guy sings Mikey like nobody.
Was putting them lipstick red. She didn't sign her name, I wonder. That's a little secret that she keeps. She's walking around in my street.
Golly, just shut her door.
Walking, pillow talking. She's calling my name again. Day's breaking, I ain't waking up. I'm sleeping in. I'm on a roll now.
This goes out to everybody in the Newport Mesa Unified School District. What's up?
She took my new
All right, let me read you. So it's interesting, right? Kenosha, Wisconsin. When rioting and looting come to the Midwest, it doesn't play that fucking game, right? This is not Portland. This is not Seattle. It's not Washington, D.C. It's not Los Angeles. This is the Midwest, right? People own businesses. People have guns. They'll defend their shit, right? So anyway, so what happened in Kenosha? Who was the shooter? What was going on? So here's an email. Mac, interesting stuff in the upper Midwest. You've often spoken about the divide in this country between big cities run by liberals and small town America run by normal Americans with a different set of values. I think that's what collided in Wisconsin. And the protests, I think, bear that out. It'll be interesting to see what comes of all of this. I concur with your observations relative to the police. I think it's important that the police at least tell the 80% that they know in relatively short order, given the volatility of these kind of events. I wish they would call a press conference and lay it out. And if it incriminates the police officers, then it will go that way. They have their rights. It will be investigated, and it will go. If there are mitigating circumstances, I think it would help the discussion to know that somebody said that he had a knife, and that was the assumption the police were operating under. I, like you, am looking for information. Email from Ohio man, who I haven't heard from in a bit. This is entitled Shooter. It will be interesting to learn the identity of the shooter. The short video I watched showing him getting knocked down in the street and being hit by a guy holding a handgun. He only shot those that were on him, wasn't firing indiscriminately. Night One produced video showing several Antifa types armed with ARs blocking an armored sheriff's vehicle from getting to the scene of the rioting. I saw the video. I saw photos of armed individuals taking up posts to protect businesses, but do not know if they were related to the business owners or not. What is clear that we are seeing more Antifa showing up with their guns. As most of these states and local governments seem unwilling, unable, or both to stop the destruction, it's not surprising to see others showing up armed to stop it. Armed locals showing up to protect their businesses and homes is a good thing. Armed idiots showing up to play is a very bad thing. I'm sure the media won't differentiate. In case you're not, you should be following Andy Go on Twitter. He's the Asian freelance journalist that has been tracking Antifa, same one that got pummeled by the mob in Portland. If you didn't see that, so Andy, I think his name is NGO, so it's Go. Nego? Maybe Nego. Andy Nego, he's gay, he's conservative, and he's a media guy. So this is probably a couple years ago or a year ago in Portland. I mean, it was unbelievable. They identified him, right? And then they attacked him. I mean, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, on camera, somebody walks up to him and hits him in the head with a brick, like at point-blank range. And you're watching this going, these fucking punks, man. Who is doing this shit? And where are the cops? You know? Where are the cops? Is this like another street festival like they had in Seattle? I mean, you watch, it's just bullshit. So, no, I do not follow him on Twitter. Maybe I should. I can't, you know what? I don't like that stuff, though. I mean, because it just hammers you all day. I don't like that. And here's, Ohio Man sent me a screenshot. And this is from somebody. It says Uncle Sam's Misguided Children, right? USMC. And there's a picture of a guy holding his forearm, and he's got a handgun in his right hand. He's holding his right forearm, grimacing like he's been shot. And then this is what the person wrote. This commie terrorist with a pistol thought he could take on a young patriot protecting the local businesses armed with an AR rifle. He was wrong. Lucky for him, he was only shot in the arm. The communist who attacked the patriot protecting the businesses with a skateboard as he was running from the mob got shot in the chest. Another rider who tried to attack the patriot with the AR got shot in the head. In an ironic twist, other looters and riders stood over their dead comrades and screamed and cried for the police. Seriously. So, again, the Midwest is not is a little bit different from the other places we've seen this. And so it goes. We'll a quick check of the news here, and then we'll take a break. And then you're going to meet Mark Trainer, who's written a book called A Quiet Cadence. Mark, a Naval Academy guy in the United States Marine Corps, infantry officer, but then he commands an artillery battery. So I don't really understand. And he's a 1-5 guy like me as a lieutenant. So we're lieutenant bros. A few years apart, mind you. But he was in Charlie Company. He was in Bravo Company. Anyway, to the news we go. Top story. Body found about 30 miles from Fort Hood, believed to be missing soldier. Sergeant Elder Fernandez, family lawyer, says. In identification found on the body in Temple, Texas, indicates the man may be the missing Fort Hood soldier. Forensic confirmation is pending. Fernandez is the third soldier from Fort Hood to go missing this past year, and two have been found dead this summer. Temple police received a medical call at 5:36 p.m. yesterday saying a male had been seen near some railroad tracks, according to a statement. When officers arrived, they determined the man was dead. Foul play is not suspected normally, right? Indicating that somebody has taken their own life. Natalie Quawam, who is representing the Fernandez family, said Army police told family members about the discovery late Tuesday night. She said the body was found hanging in a tree. His backpack was found with him. Police said they found the 23-year-old man's driver's license inside. U.S. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy said in a visit to Fort Hood earlier this month that the Central Texas base had some of the highest numbers for sexual assault, harassment, and murder. He's ordered an independent probe of Fort Hood in July. So, Sergeant Fernandez, right, his first name, Elder, he was working with the sexual assault people at Fort Hood, working through some issues. All right, they're not normally disclosed. So, that in the news this morning. The Coast Guard has called off Arctic operations after an icebreaker catches fire near Alaska. Like, what's going on? A blaze aboard the Coast Guard cutter Healy, one of only two U.S. icebreakers, has temporarily put an end to U.S. patrols of the Arctic Ocean. An electrical fire broke out in one of the Healy's main propulsion motors while en route to the Arctic on August 18th and left the cutter unable to operate in ice, according to the Coast Guard statement. Wow. The USS Carl Vinson has left the state of Washington for sea trials, F-35s, and then San Diego. So normally what that means is that the ship has gone through some kind of service life extension program and is headed back to the fleet. The third oldest carrier in the United States Navy is out for sea trials after 17 months and $34.4 million in upgrades and maintenance in Bremerton, Washington. The USS Carl Vinson, commissioned in 1980, is the third of 10 Nimitz-class nuclear-powered carriers, was updated to accommodate the F-35 Lightning II Joint Strike Fighters. It will be the first U.S. carrier to receive the fifth-generation multi-role aircraft. Once the sea trials are over, the carrier will shift its home port from Naval Base Bremerton to San Diego, its former home. The Carl Vinson left the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard and Maintenance Facility on Sunday, according to the Navy. So, nice. The Carl Vinson back at sea. So that's good for the United States Navy. We talked about this story yesterday, but William Shatner wants to know why the captain of the Starship Enterprise in the Space Force is going to be a colonel and not a captain of a ship. So, yeah. So that debate is like captured the media's imagination. Going in and coming out clean. No coronavirus in thousands of U.S. soldiers before or after an exercise. So that's in the news right now. And we talked to Grant yesterday about a series of articles that circulated late last week and over the weekend about Kim Jong-un being in a coma. So here's a headline, and this is from Stars and Stripes. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un sounds the alarm about coronavirus and a typhoon. Turning his focus inward, North Korea leader Kim Jong-un expressed concern about defects in the nation's coronavirus response and the need for strong emergency measures as a strong typhoon barreled toward the peninsula, according to North Korea's state-run media. Kim spoke as he presided over a meeting Tuesday of the Political Bureau of the ruling Workers' Party Central Committee. He outlined some shortcomings. He was also quoted. But you know what? It doesn't show him, right? It doesn't show him. So you're never quite sure if this is coming out of North Korea media and it's just an old picture that's been either touched up or something that was never published. And so you're never quite sure. Top story in Marine Corps Times today continues to be the memorial for 8 Marines and 1 sailor last week that was done by 1st Battalion, 4th Marines, and the 15th MEU. Another headline, Pearl Harbor ceremony to mark the end of World War II will be limited to local veterans only. And the top 5 stories in Early Bird real quick, then we'll take a break, and then you're going to meet Mark Trainer here. So, number 1, a federal judge rules DOD policy unlawfully slows immigrant troops' path to citizenship. Number 2, GOP leaders promote Trump as a wartime commander focused on security and peace. Rand Paul this morning is talking about him being a president uncommonly devoted to getting us out of wars relative to the last 2. Number 3, U.S. nuclear weapons budget could skyrocket if Russia treaty ends. Number 4, Fort Hood soldier likely found dead, attorney says, after disappearance and sexual assault claims. Number 5, rising military personnel costs could mean future cuts in troop numbers. Yeah, that's an interesting subject, right? As opposed to a day and age when most military members were single, I don't know what the percentage is, but a large percentage now are married, which adds across the board to the cost of personnel. So that's not a small story. And there's been thoughts of that if you're going to show up and join, you're going to stay single. But I don't know how one would actively do that. couple of overseas operation stories, and we'll take a break. Over 10,000 Islamic State fighters active in Iraq and Syria as attacks significantly increase, according to the United Nations. And China protest alleged U.S. Air Force spy plane incursion during military drills. So normally what this means is Chinese are playing stupid games as we stay in international airspace, which is tangential to something they're doing, and we photograph it, and then they try to play stupid games. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, you'll meet Mark Trainer. He's an author. He's written a book called A Quiet Cadence. It's a novel. I would say much in the spirit of Karl Marlantis's, another lieutenant who wrote Matterhorn. And so we'll talk to Mark coming up. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.